Please rise. Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Americans love a winner. So then, since all of you are Americans, you must love winners. Therefore, who would you pick to be your champion? The one person. Who would be that one person that you would pick, your champion, who would defeat, without doubt, all your enemies? What would that person look like? Well, if you go to the movies today, you'll see all kinds of great heroes there on the silver screen. But are they your champion? Now, others may look to a wise, soft-spoken person who defeats your enemies through cunning diplomacy. So then, this morning, let's go back to the first century. And the Jewish people, they had a specific idea of who their great champion would be and what he would look like. They thought about and they dreamed about him every year at the Feast of Dedication. This feast, it was some obscure Old Testament feast, right? No, actually, in all reality, you will not find this feast in the Old Testament. But you all know this feast by another name. You don't know it as the Feast of Dedication. You know it as Hanukkah, or as the Jews would say, Chag HaOrim, the Festival of Lights. It's a Christmas celebration. We could say that it's the Jewish Christmas celebration. After all, it is winter, as John has already told us. Yet, the history of Hanukkah is a high point of Jewish heritage. So that you can understand, it's true you will not find this feast in the Old Testament, but it is history. About 200 years before Jesus was born, there was fighting. That's something man has always done with other people and other men, fight. But you see, the Greek Empire is just about ready to fall. The great Alexander the Great is now dead. And as usual, politicians and generals will fight amongst themselves just as soon as the emperor dies. And this is what we have here, 200 years before Jesus' birth. We have one faction, the Seleucids, fighting against another faction, the Ptolemies. And they're at war with each other. And eventually the Seleucids win. And they take control of Egypt, which includes Judah and Jerusalem. Well, everything's hunky-dory for a while. The Jews were allowed to worship as usual. They could sacrifice and they could do all that they were normally allowed to do. But, yes, there's always a but. In the year 168 BC, the Seleucid ruler, who has this wonderful name that I love pronouncing, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. He marches into Jerusalem, he marches into the temple, and he builds an altar to Zeus. And he begins to sacrifice pigs right there on the Temple Mount. Can you imagine? Utter desecration of the great temple. And equally as bad, he forbade the Jews from sacrificing according to God's word. And they were no longer allowed to circumcise their 8-day-year-old little boys. The worship of Yahweh, the worship that Yahweh had commanded, was now forbidden by a pagan ruler. So the Jews, yes, the Jews, they need a champion. And his name is Judas Maccabeus. And his tactics? Guerrilla warfare. He would hit and run. He would hit them fast, and then he would disappear. And that's why Judas was known as the Hammer. A nice wrestling name, isn't it? The Hammer. His guerrilla army would fight this way for 3.5 years. And finally, the Seleucids were driven out. The Hammer. The Hammer was now the Jews' victorious champion. Now the Jews must purify and rededicate their temple. They had to relight the great golden menorah, a candle holder with 7 branches with 7 candles, which represented God as the light of his people. But there's a problem. And it's a huge problem, by the way. They only had enough oil to keep the great menorah lit for one day. Yet they lit the menorah and it burned for 8 days, which allowed the Jews to produce more sacred oil. Therefore, the 8 days of Hanukkah, the festival of lights, remembers their rescuer. But he wasn't their savior. He wasn't their Messiah. But they wanted their savior and they wanted their Messiah to look just like Judas the Hammer. And this was their vision of their great Messiah, that he would be a fighter, he would be a tactician, he would be a strong man who was capable of leading his people, the Jews, in destroying all their enemies, especially the hated Romans. But we have this man from Nazareth. His name is Jesus. And what they saw in him was nothing special. He wasn't a warrior. He wasn't a tough guy in any way. As a matter of fact, he was the one who told them, if someone strikes you on the cheek, turn your face and let them strike the other cheek. As a matter of fact, he even taught that blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek? Really? This Jesus, wow, he's a far cry from the Hammer. He must not be our champion. So therefore, the Jews come to him. They're in Jerusalem, and they ask him a very simple and pointed question. How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. My dear brother and sister, in this world, there are many, many pictures of Jesus. You know those pictures of Jesus, blue-eyed and brown-haired? Now, I don't know about you, yet even though I wasn't there, I don't think Jesus had blue eyes and brown hair. He was a Jew. Yet, who Jesus really is on the outside, his physical appearance isn't the point. So Jesus tells them who he is. And by telling the Jews then who he is, he tells them today, and he's also telling each of you. He says to the Jews, Ego kai ho pater hin esmen. I and the Father, one are. Literal translation. I and the Father are one. What Jesus has disidentified for them and for all of you, who he is. He tells you who he is. By the use of this adjective, this Greek adjective, hin, he points out a very, very important fact, which we actually lose in our English translation. Jesus is saying by using this Greek adjective, hin, that he and the Father are one being. They are of one essence. They are one in perfect unity. They are one God. Therefore, Jesus is telling the Jews, and he's telling all of you, he is the Messiah. He's not a guerrilla fighter, and he's not a wise diplomat. No, he is much, much more than any other earthly champion. Put away this idea of earthly champions. Put away this idea of earthly idols. Whoever you idolize, forget about it. They will not save you. They cannot save you. They are not your champion. Jesus is your champion because Jesus is your Lord and your Savior and your God. He and the Father are one. They are inseparable, and yet they are separate persons. This is the mystery of our holy triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is the strong man. He is the strongest person in existence. There is no one bigger than him. There is no one more powerful than him. Jesus is your King of Kings and your Lord of Lords. He is your great captain. He is the valiant one who's taken the field for you. He is your Savior, your guardian, your heavenly friend. This is who Jesus is. This is your Messiah. As he told the Jews then, as he tells them today, and as he tells his disciples always, spoken by his own tongue. Ego kai ho pater, hin esmen. I and the Father are one. And each of you, no matter your circumstance in life, no matter what's going on in your life right now, Jesus makes a promise. As Hayden told our children, Jesus tells them, his little sheep, and he tells you, his little sheep, no one can snatch you out of his hands. Therefore, forget about putting Jesus into your hands. Forget about making him look like you or, God forbid, act like you or me. Simply fall before him. Fall before your great Messiah. Bow down in childlike reverence and adoration and worship him, for he is the divine oneness. He is your God. He is your Savior. And there is none other. Yes, it's true. It is true in this life that you do need a champion. You need this champion, your Messiah, Jesus. You need this true man and true God who guarantees to each and every one of you that you cannot be snatched from his hands, that you cannot be ripped from eternal life, which he has promised to you and actually has won for you here upon his cross. When you listen to Jesus tell you about himself, then you learn that no one, not even the devil and all of his evil angels, not a single event, not a single person in all the world, past, present, or future, can ever snatch you out of the nail-scarred hands of your Savior. So lastly, here is your champion this morning. He is always here. Every time we call upon his name, he hears us. And he comes into our presence. He comes to you and he announces to you that I am your champion. I am the one who has done all that my Father asked me to do. You don't need a hammer. Yet there was a hammer that was used. There was a hammer that was used on your champion as it drove nails into his wrist and into his feet. And this was done for you. He's a champion, but he doesn't use a spear or a sword. Yet there was a sword that was used upon him as it was thrust into his heart and blood and water gushed out, cleansing you of all of your sins. And then on that great third day, we rejoice as we remember, He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And so you too will rise, hallelujah, on that great last day. Because He lives, you too live. Because He is your champion, you are saved. And you, along with the Son, will live with the Father in His kingdom, safe and secure forever and ever. Thanks be to Jesus. He is your God, and He is your champion. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.